Nindakani Sutta. Thus have I heard on one occasion, the Venerable Mahakachana was dwelling among the people of Avanti on Mount Papata at Kuru Ragaram. Then the householder Halindakani approached the Venerable Mahakachana, paid homage to him, sat down to one side and said to him, "Venerable sir, this was said by the Blessed One in the questions of Mahagandhi of the Atakavagga." This Atakavagga is in the Kuttaka Nikaya, Sutta Nipata, where Mahagandhi went to Buddha to give him his daughter in marriage. Then Buddha was saying, "I am not going to touch even by my feet." And then Mahagandhi was asking, if you are not expecting this sort of thing, what are you expecting? Then Buddha answered him using these gathas. This is one of those gathas that, having left home to roam without abode, in the village sage is intimate with none, rid of sensual pleasures without expectations, he would not engage people in dispute. How, Venerable Sir, should the meaning of this stated by the Blessed One in brief be understood in detail? The Venerable Mahakachana always explained the opposite term first. Now, it is said they having left home, so the opposite part is explained first and then the term. The form element householder is the home of consciousness. One whose consciousness is shackled by the lust for form element is called one who roams about in a home. The feeling element is the home of consciousness. The perception element is the home of consciousness. Volitional formations element is the home of consciousness. One whose consciousness is shackled by the lust for volitional formations element is called one who roams about in home. It is in such a way that one roams about in home. So, you saw there are four homes for consciousness in the previous meditation. When we have the physical nutriment, we come to the barb of lust, we go back to the physical nutriment. So then the physical nutriment become the home of consciousness. In the second part, from the contact you get the feeling. When you get the barb of lust, we go back to the feeling. So feeling become the home of consciousness. And on the third part, because of the perception, we get the barb of views. And then we are going back and holding the perception. So the perception become the home of consciousness. And the fourth one, volitional formation construct consciousness. When you come to the barb of delusion, then we go and hold the volitional formation. So that is the fourth home. So those are the four homes mentioned over there. Then the other way around is explained, having left home. And how householder does one roam about homeless? The desire, lust, delight and craving, the engagement and clinging, the mental standpoints, adherences and underlying tendencies regarding the form element, these have been abandoned by the Tathagata. Cut off at the root, made like a palm stump, obliterated so that they are no more subject to future arising. Therefore, the Tathagata is called one who roams about homeless. So you can see there is this desire. So we have marked it as a sensual desire. This kama chanda in Pali. Kama. Kama is translated as enjoyment. What is enjoyment? That is, greed for thought is man's enjoyment. So it is not this beautiful things in the world like flowers and so on. And it is the greed for thoughts. So you can see these thoughts are marked over here as a plans over here. Whatever the lust for that one is the sense part over here, kama, chanda, kama. So here we have a sensual desire. So what is sensual desire? Let us say that your table is broken. You wanted to construct a table. So when you go somewhere, you see in a place they are selling these wood pieces. they are selling it cheap, 50% off on that day. So then you, other people are taking it. So you thought that this is a gain. Then you take these wood pieces and come back home, I got it 50% off. And then having come home, then you ask a carpenter to come to your home and then ask him to construct a table. Carpenter is looking at this wood pieces. Then he is saying these are good thing, nothing. You know that people don't make tables from rubber wood those days. These days they are still doing it from rubber wood as well. So although carpenter is condemning the wood pieces, aren't you trying to persuade that person? You know, can't you use two pieces of wood rather than one and make it sort of stronger table? Why? Because you took these wood pieces as cheap and it is coming behind you. You know, in Sri Lanka, that rural area that the small children, they take a coconut husk bind by a rope and then they drag it. So the coconut husk is coming behind them. So likewise that you got these wood pieces cheaper is coming behind you. You know, it is inside you. I got it cheaper, now I wanted to construct a table. So that's what I want. So that is sensual desire there too. On the third day, we will discuss this one in a further detail. So then after sensual desire, then we are talking about the lust. So lust is marked over here. Between birth and the coveting and greed. So, lust is making the bondage firm. Whatever bondage you have, lust is making it firm. You also learn the lust has a barb of lust little while ago. Oh, it is the fetter of craving. The lust is the fetter of craving. So, the next word coming up is the delight. Nandi is the Pali word. It is marked between the birth and the coveting and greed. Remember we discussed this one? That you take a bite from here to here, you get the feeling. And then consciousness is aware of the feeling. And then that one passed away. So what do? You get another bite and put it over there. So you are reconstructing the consciousness. So now you take this one in a longer term. You had a baby type body, birth, aging, sickness, and then we have the death. The death means death of consciousness. Then the delight means that you want to reconstruct that consciousness. That means that your desire to be born after death. So that is this the term. The delight. After delight, there is this craving marked over here. So the craving we have marked next to the feeling. Do we have craving all the time? We don't have craving all the time. This craving is you are spinning. And after the 8th round, if you are not giving up, that is craving. For example, let us say the spinning means physical nutriment, barb of lust to go back to the physical nutriment. That's a one spin. So we keep on doing that one. Let us say you look at someone, then you find this person is beautiful. You saw the hair as beautiful. And then it doesn't take another millisecond for you to sort of see the a pimple or something, some sort of a defect in that particular person's body. So, although you saw the pimple, then you just keep on spinning, thinking like the pimple will go away, but it doesn't go away. After the 8th round, that you are sick. What you have is sloth and torpor, sickness of the mind and sickness of the mental state. So, at that time, you can give up, but you don't give up. So if you are not giving up after the 8th round, that is craving. So, and then the engagement and clinging. So the clinging, And in the first part, there is sensual desire clinging, which is not ma. And in the second part, contact as neutral, we have the virtue and duty clinging. Mental volition as neutral, then we have view clinging, which is marked in the diagram. Consciousness as neutral, then we have the self theory clinging. So those are the clinging. And then we have mental standpoints. So adhiṭṭhāna is in the Pali word. So mental standpoints can be anywhere after these body ties. Now we have this body tie of misapprehension, body tie of insistence that this is truth. And down below, anywhere, the mental standpoints can be there. Like, you know, barb of lust, for example, or floods, flood of sensual desire. So any of those lines we have. So we have not marked that one. And then we have marked adherences next to the volitional formations. So adherences mean that we are sort of clinging, that there is the inclination to volitional formation, to stick fast as it by glue. That's what it is. So we are clinging to what? The lie, harsh speech, slander, and the frivolous talks. And you can see, you like frivolous talks. Even you come to the meditation session, you want to talk. You go to office, then you know you are happy to talk and talk. So frivolous talks. Are we also clinging to harsh speech? We do. You know, sometimes someone is coming and telling you a couple of words, and then that person go away. So then you are going to your friend and say, I want to tell him a couple of words, but he did not give you the chance, you know. He come and then told you and then go away. So we like harsh speech as well. And again, lying. You know, person selling tea leaves, that person is saying, this is the best tea leaves, I am also drinking this. He does not. And then let us say you want to buy a computer, you go there. And then if you look at the computer a little bit, then the computer salesman is coming. Say, this is the best kind. You know, I have this sort of computer at home. I have used it for 8 years and it's not breaking. So he does not have it, but that because that he wants to keep his job, and that is what he is saying. So then you can see we are clinging to this lying part. And then again slander. So whatever relationship we have from feeling to the craving, when you cling to feeling, we say craving. Similar relationship exists between the volitional formations to the adherences. So here we have this inclination. So one of the Brahmins asked Buddha about this adhiṭṭhāna, mental standpoints, and the adherences. Then Buddha gave some examples. For example, king will have the mental standpoints for power, and here adherences would be for lands. So that's why they put bombs and you can sort of grab the land, spread the power. And a householder, that is mental standpoints for skills, the adherences would be for activity. Sometimes we say this person is workaholic, he want to do work and work. And for a woman, the resolution, mental standpoints for sons, the adherences would be to be without a rival. For a recluse, the mental standpoints is for virtue, and then the adherences would be for nothing. He does not want to cling into anything. So you will learn good ones tomorrow, the mental standpoints. Therefore, so here it says that adherences and then the underlying tendencies. So tendency is marked over here next to the feeling. When there is a pleasurable feeling, then tendency to attachment lies latent in the pleasurable feeling. When there is a displeasure feeling, tendency to aversion lies latent in the displeasure feeling. When it is there is neither pleasurable nor unpleasurable feeling, then the tendency to aversion lies latent in the neither pleasurable nor unpleasurable feeling. So what it says is that the Buddha has cut off at the root, made like a palm stump, obliterated. So they are no more further arising. So that's why the Tathagata is called one who roams about homeless. And similarly, it says the desire, lust, craving, engagement and clinging, mental standpoints, adherences, underlying tendencies regarding the feeling element, perception element, the volitional formations element, the consciousness element, these have been abandoned by the Tathagata, cut off at the root, made like a palm stump, obliterated, so that they are no more subject to future arising. So, therefore, the Tathagata is called one who roams about homeless. It is in such a way that one roams about homeless. And then it says, how householder does one roam about in a abode? So we are going to the second part of the first line of that gatha. So it says, by diffusion and confinement in the abode consisting of the sign of forms, one is called one who roams about in an abode. By diffusion and confinement in the abode consisting of the sign of sounds, sign of odor, sign of taste, sign of tactile objects, sign of mental phenomena, one is called one who roams about in an abode. You see, the diffusion means spreading freely. Confinement means to keep within bounds. What is this one means? In a nutshell, when you are looking at someone, are you just looking at the eye of that person? Or do you rather scan from the top to bottom? We scan, isn't it? How do you know this one, that we scan and we scrap and grab sign and features of that person? Let us say that you are here for the meditation session and 2 or 3 weeks later, two people are meeting and then say, remember that person on the fourth row? And then that person can't remember, saying there was a pimple over here. So in other words, that you have scanned from the top to bottom. If the police is asking, you would be saying that that person was this much tall, this much, you know, wearing this sort of clothes and so on. So that means we are scanning from the top to bottom. What I'm saying here, in, you know, Sri Lankans in Sri Lanka, when they apply butter to a piece of bread, they apply everywhere, not leaving a millimeter in that one. So likewise, we scan from the top to bottom and then we grab hold of the sign and features of that one. So what is spreading by doing that one is these defilements. So now why Buddha is using similar words? You know, in the first page you can see we were talking about the home of consciousness. And over here, Buddha is talking about does one roam about in an abode. It's another sort of a home. Buddha does not use words without understanding. Here we are talking about the cause and the condition. There are two different things, cause and the condition. Condition is the general thing. Cause is not general as such. For example, a sprout is coming out from a seed. But anywhere else in the world, a sprout varies, this seed is not common. It is coming out of another seed. So that is not the general condition. So that is called the cause. But anywhere else in the world, a sprout to arise, there must be water and the earth. So that is the general condition. So then general condition we are talking about when we talk about roam about in an abode. So if it is external, it is the general condition. If it is internal, then it is the cause. So when you grab sign and features of a person, that is external. Therefore, it is the condition. And when you say beauty, perception of beauty, perception of pleasure, perception of self, then that is a cause. For example, by looking at a flower, one may be saying this is beautiful. The other person is saying it's not like that one for me. So in other words, this particular thing, beauty, was not in the flower itself. It is inside you. So it is internal. So here are the cause and conditions. So then the other way around is explained. And how householder does one wrong about without abode? Diffusion and confinement in the abode, consisting of the sign of forms, these have been abandoned by the Tathagata, cut off at the root, made like a palm stump, obliterated so that they are no more subject to future arising. Therefore, Tathagata is called one who wrong about without abode. So, in other words, Buddha does not scan someone from top to bottom, then grab the sign and features, because Buddha knows what is spreading is this defilements. So then we have learned one line of Gatha. So similarly, the diffusion and confinement in the abode consists of sign of sounds, sign of order, sign of taste, sign of tactile objects, and sign of mental phenomena. Buddha has abandoned them. So let us go to the second line. And how householder is one intimate in the village? Here householder, someone lives in association with lay people. He rejoices with them and sorrows with them. He is happy when they are happy and sad when they are sad. And he involves himself in their affairs and duties. It is in such a way that one is intimate in the village. That means a monk is living with the association with the lay people. When the lay person got a lottery ticket, the monk is happy because then the temple will be constructed and the food, good food will be provided and so on. When that person lose money, then monk is not happy because then the temple will not be constructed and so on. So that one, something to do with this first term we learn, sensual desire. And how householder is one intimate with none in the village? Here householder, bhikkhu, does not live in association with lay people. He does not rejoice with them or sorrow with them. He is not happy when they are happy and sad when they are sad. And he does not involve himself in their affairs and duties. It is in such a way that one is intimate with none in the village. So, in other words, that a monk who is going in the alms round, he does not care whether this person got a lottery ticket or not, winning person or not, whatever thing offered to him, then the monk would be using. So we have learned two lines of the Gatha. Now, before I go to the third line, I will explain this particular diagram a bit. This diagram is constructed from 40 Dhamma parts that you are going to learn tomorrow. And this one is actually a vehicle. You can see this physical nutriment, which we learn. And then the birth is marked. So these are the two wheels in the front. Right side wheel, physical nutriment. Left side wheel is the birth. And behind, it has got four wheels. That is lying, harsh speech, slander, and frivolous talks. That's how our stream of consciousness is flowing. You know, we lie, you know, steal, harsh speech, frivolous talks, those are there. So, in the middle, you can see there is a line here, coveting and greed, volitional formation, bodhicitta of insistence. And this is what is called propeller shaft or the drive shaft of the vehicle. You can see in the old vehicles that there is some sort of a metal thing is rotating and giving power to back wheels. Coveting and greed is called the universal joint. Now you can see for your birth what is universally joined, physical nutriment. And the feeling is the gearbox of the vehicle. and the contact as neutral, and this is the steering wheel of the vehicle, and this vehicle has got seats, so that is the body type of misapprehension. You misapprehend things as, you know, the person who is practicing virtue, he misapprehend that I'll be born in from the divine world and so on. You know, before fulfilling the virtue, he might, if he passed away, he might go to hell, but he misapprehend. So this is where the vehicle's seats are. So you are in the driving seat, you are the one opening the vehicle doors for others to come. One example is, let us say, in your office you have to do some sort of presentation. When you present something, then there are many people who talk against you. Some people sort of talk about this one trying to improve you. You know, there are no problems with them because they are trying to improve you. But there are some people, they don't know nothing about your presentation. I have no idea, but they talk. Just because they have a mouth. So your meeting is over, then you come into the office desk, then you start the meeting. Then, you know, you let those people who are talking against you without understanding, they come first, and then you are actually blaming them. You know, you don't have any understanding, you were talking about this one. They do not know, but you are mentally, you are inside, you are blaming. Until you put them out, is there. Sometimes there are mini meetings after the meeting, isn't it? Two people, and you know, they have no idea, they talk. Maybe you are going to the supermarket, you see one of your enemies, then you take that person home and hand over to your wife as well. You know, that person, bad guy, I saw him in the supermarket, then both of them are blamed. So, they are there. Until you throw them out. And so, how does this vehicle move? This has a front engine and the rear drive. So here, you know, the physical nutriment, we come to the barber first, we go back to the physical nutriment. It's like you are cranking this particular one. You see that old days, we had this cast, you put an iron bar and then you rotate, crank it. So likewise, physical nutriment, you come to the barb of lust, you go back to the physical nutriment. That's one round. So we keep on spinning over there. So then the power go to the back wheels on the volitional formations. The line over here, we talk in RN sense. If you regard this leg as mind, that is good enough for the line part. Sometimes if the motorbike person is showing you it is not yours, they come and hit you. And then your leg get broken, you go to hospital, doctor is saying we have to amputate it. When the doctor cut it and put it out, do you take the leg home? This is my leg. So while it is hanging, you say this leg is mine, wife is mine, husband is mine, house is mine, mine scenario. So when one wheel rotate, then the other wheels will rotate as well. So the vehicle moves. Understand this thing, you can put a couple over here. Let us say the boy is in the driving seat, the girl is in the passenger seat. And when they are driving, this girl is saying that on the top of this mountain, there is a nice hotel. So then this boy is, you know, turning the steering wheel to go to the top of the mountain. And then he is getting these thoughts. That, you know, it's the top of the mountain must be beautiful. It's a hotel. They must have food. And it's a hotel, so they must have rooms as well. Although they think that way, this vehicle may be broken halfway through on the mountain slope. Then none of the thinking that he had does not come to materialize. Doesn't become true. One good example is the Buddha. If you invite Buddha to almsgiving, would the Buddha say, okay, I will come? There is no discourse that says such a thing. If Buddha cannot come, Buddha would be saying, I cannot come. How do they understand that Buddha accepted the invitation? Buddha becomes silent. So now when you are coming over here, you told your relatives or whoever at home, I'll go to this meditation session, come back. Are you sure you can go back? We might die over here, we might die on the street. So we start with a sort of a lie in that sense. And even that vehicle moves to the top of the mountain, they may not have food. Even there is food, they may not have rooms. So one of them, one of this thinking is not become materialized, therefore it's lying. So that's how this vehicle moves. So now we have learned the two lines, we learn the vehicle, we have learned two lines of gatha, and then let's go to the third line. And how householder is one not rid of sensual pleasures? Here householder, someone is not devoid of lust, desire, affection, thirst, passion, and craving in regard to sensual pleasures. It is in such a way that one is not rid of sensual pleasures. So here you can see the every discourse, if you look at, and Buddha going in that particular order: lust, desire, affection, thirst, passion, and craving. Why Buddha is going at that in order? Because it is the order that it is actually occurring. So lust is actually occurring at the sixth round. You know, after the fifth round, you take that wood pieces as cheap, it's a game. And then there is this concept, I got wood pieces cheap. For that concept, you get the lust. That is in the sixth round. And the sixth round has got steps. So the sensual desire is the step. And then again, sixth round has got another step. That is what is called affection. So that is the little craving. So little craving is not that little. Sometimes it is taking you to plane of departed as well. So little craving will be marked in the same spot as the craving here. And then after that one, what we have is the thirst. The thirst means these volitional formations are entering bodhitaya of misapprehension as permanent. By that time, if you die, then there's a good chance that you will be born in the plane of departed, spirits world. A good example that is happening in the seventh round, good example is, let us say a mother, when the baby is about 1 year old and uttering, mom and so on. At that particular time, if the mother passed away, there's a good chance that mother will be born in the plane of departed. Let us say, fortunately, that mother is still in the mind-made body. And then she can see the baby. You know, other people are cuddling the baby, feeding the baby. You know, the baby is uttering mom and so on. And then, now, when the baby came to the stomach, she thought that, now these volitional formations are permanent. We will be together for a long time. Now she passed away, but still the permanence is there in her mind. So for her to achieve this permanency, now if she is going to another mother's womb, then she will be separated from this baby. But if she is going to a plane of departed, then she can be in a corner of a house, the same house, or she can go somewhere and coming back and then look at the baby and so on. So what the mother has got about the baby was this little craving, affection. So it is not little that the volitional formations enter in the bodhitaya of misapprehension as permanent, then you might go to a plane of departed. After the thirst, what we have is passion. So that this is the seventh round and the seventh step that we are talking about. To explain this passion part, Let us say when you are young, you can go to work and you know, you can getting washed in the train as well. You can do the work. When the lunchtime you are eating your lunch packet, your taste buds are good, so you get the taste as well. And then when you are old, you can't go to work, difficult to get up as well, difficult to go in the train, difficult to do the work. And also when you are actually eating your lunch packet and there's no taste, and then you are thinking, what's the point then? I am coming to this work. But still you are thinking, my grandson is there, so I can buy some toy or something for that boy. So you are not giving up. So in other words, that your taste buds are gone, therefore you have this change of feeling at that time. And in other words, it says painfulness has changed, entering into the bodhitaya of misapprehension, and the volitional formations are entering as suffering over there. And then you are going through this line, bodhitaya of misapprehension, to the aging, and somewhere you have this passion. So that is the seventh round, seventh step. Now you can give up, but you don't give up. You know, you were thinking about, my grandson is there, I can help him or something. So after the eighth round, if you are not giving up, that is craving. So this is occurring in that order. That's why Buddha is mentioning every discourse in that particular order. Lust, desire, affection, thirst, passion, craving, in that order. And then he says the opposite way, and how household is one rid of sensual pressures. Here household, someone is devoid of lust, desire, affection, thirst, passion and craving in regard to sensual pleasures. It is in such a way that one is rid of sensual pleasures. In other words, Buddha is not spinning. You know, it's by spinning these rounds we actually get this, the lust, desire and so on. Buddha does not spin, because Buddha understands when you spin, what you are getting is this craving, desire and all those things. So we have learned about 2.5 lines of those gatha, and then let us focus on the other half over here, the third line. And how householder does one entertain expectations? So expectations we have marked over here. Plans means expectations. Here householder, someone thinks, may I have such form in the future, may I have such feeling in the future, may I have such perception in the future, may I have such volitional formations in the future, may I have such consciousness in the future. It is in such a way that one entertain expectations. You see that in a nutshell, what is this mean? When, let us say you are going and then you see someone got a good nose on the street, and then you think, let me have that sort of nose. The nose that snot is coming out, isn't it? But you are wishing to have such a nose. And again, someone was actually telling me that he is poor because he has not given, he has not done meritorious deeds in the past. He's not a poor person who is actually telling this. Now he is actually giving to this monk's food and so on, so that he can become rich in the next birth. So that is his expectation. See, when you have these plans, we always get a view created from the mental volition, and we honor such a preconceived view and behave in a way. So then the other way round is mentioned, and how householder is one without expectations. Here householder, someone does not think, may I have such form in the future, may I have such consciousness in the future. It is in such a way that one is without expectation. Buddha, for example, does not think, let me have such a body in the future, let me have such a nose. So we have learned three lines of gatha. And then the Fourth one, and how householder does one engage people in dispute? Here, householder, someone engages in such talk as this. You don't understand this dumb man discipline. I understand this dumb man discipline. What you understand this dumb man discipline, you have practicing wrongly. I am practicing rightly. What should have been said before, you said after. What should have been said after, you said before. I am consistent, you are inconsistent. What you took so long to think out has been overturned. Your thesis has been refuted. Go off to rescue your thesis, or you are defeated, or disentangle yourself if you can. It is in such a way that one engages people in dispute. You see, when someone is coming to you and telling something, then if you know that it is the other way around, then you go and argue with that person. And then they will have a fight. When someone is coming to the Buddha, Buddha knows that this person is coming with a view, so that with a wrong view. So Buddha is asking a question to take that person out of that wrong view. One good example is a Diganaka Sutta. Diganaka went to the Buddha and said, I am of the view, I am of the opinion that nothing is pleasant to you. Then the Buddha was asking that nothing is pleasant to you. Isn't that pleasant to you? So then the Diganaka gave a good answer, and then Buddha managed to, you know, direct him to Nibbana. And we will be normally, you know, saying, no, it's not like that one, and then they have a dispute. So then the other way around is now explained, and how householder does one not engage people in dispute? Here householder, someone does not engage in such talk as this. You don't understand this dumb man discipline. And he is not going to say such a thing. It is in such a way that one does not engage people in dispute. Thus, householder, when it was said by the Blessed One in the question of Magandhya of the Atakkavaka, having left home to roam without abode, in the village the sage is intimate with none, rid of sensual pleasures without expectations, he would not engage people in dispute. It is in such a way that the meaning of this stated in brief by the Blessed One should be understood in detail. So you can see this gatha has got only four lines, but to explain it, you get to, you know, few pages. So let us understand this dhamma using the diagram. So here you can see the physical nutriment is there. Then we get the perception of beauty. Now let us say you are invited to a party, you go there, and then someone is bringing a plate of cutlets, and then as soon as you see the cutlet, then you get this perception of beauty, a light coming to you, this cutlet is there. And then let's say next moment someone is coming and take the whole cutlet plate away, then you are thinking, what happened over here? There's no pleasure. In other words, cutlet is physical nutriment. As far as you can spin with the barb of lust, then you get the permanency. So the permanency adding to the perception of beauty, then you get the perception of pleasure. That's why when the cutlet was removed, you don't have the pleasure. So you need to add the permanency. Cutlet is there, cutlet is there. So when you have the pleasure, then it becomes the self. Remember mango example. You earn money, pay quite a lot of bills and save $10, and then you got rotten mango pile. Then you cut down the rotten part, eat the mango. The pleasure is there. So that pleasure becomes the self. And then when you have this perception of self, then you have a plan. In the case of mango example, that you save $10. Now you are thinking, if I can save $10.50, then I can have a better mango. So that is your plan. Then it goes to, it go inside this self theory clicking. So then you do one of these things: lying, harsh speech, slander, and frivolous talks. Now you can see there is an arrow going from slander, coming back to the view clinging. There are three further arrows which we have not marked. One from lying, another one from harsh speech, and frivolous talks. Going through the adherences, coming to view clinging. It's like going through the roundabout and coming to the same spot. From the view clinging, then you are coming to this appropriation. Now, to understand the appropriation, we need to start from the beginning over here with the physical nutriment. So when the physical nutriment getting contacted, then you get the feeling. From the feeling, you get the craving. From the craving, you get the appropriation. The appropriation of external object lead to something called my making. And you know, if you have a Benz car in your house, you are happy. You are not happy, you know, the Benz car is there in the next door neighbor's house. So that is mine. So my making lead to what is called perception of pleasure. The perception of pleasure has got the characteristic of going to the contact affected by the taste. So we are going to the contact. So we started with the physical nutriment, ending up with the contact. So this is dangerous. And this one is actually making you go to, you know, let us say your husband and wife is there, young couple, and one person passed away. The other person also feel like, I don't want to live. So this is what it is, is coming to the contact. To understand this one, let us take an example. When I was working in Australia, Canberra, and I used to walk, you know, that lake area after lunchtime, you know, in the lunchtime. And then there were a couple of people who was actually walking with me, for them, they want to hear Dhamma as well. That's why they were walking with me. So I pointed at the lake and asked someone, what do you think? One person straight away went to Sri Lanka, one of the lakes in Sri Lanka in Anuradhapura area. And you see there, you see the muddy water over here, then from Australia you are going to Sri Lanka from your mind. It's like that if there is dust, and then if you put a coin, then the dust got, you know, distracted, you know, is scattering around. And if there is no dust, if you put a coin, it doesn't get, you know, scattered around. To explain further, let us say, that in Sri Lanka, for example, we have these yellow lines. So not like over here, you need to wait until they slow down. They don't slow down at once. So then on the other side of the road, there is a beautiful woman. So then you are sort of thinking that she is like this certain person that you know, actress or something. And it's not that person over there, that's something resembling a figure of that person. So now that person is crossing the road, and then that person got a cough. But the one you constructed doesn't have the cough. That person died because of an accident. The one that you constructed does not die. Because it's something that, you know, internal is triggering over there. So this is the problem. Let us say, husband and wife are there. The wife is the physical nutriment. So the contact, feeling, craving, appropriation, my making, then you come to the perception of pleasure, and then you are going to the contact. If this thought, if this one is going to the physical nutriment, that wife is the physical nutriment. If she, since she died, the thought will die with it. But since this one is going to the contact, that one is living. So this is unrealistic, isn't it? Wife is not there that you are thinking about these things. So then you feel like committing suicide. So what is this appropriation? The dictionary definition is very correct over here. The Pali word is this parigraha. When you look at someone, that is that person sort of alive, letting you, giving permission to, you know, look at by this part of the body and so on. So without the permission of the owner, you grab sign and features of that person. So then no one is given the permission. For what? It says for exclusive use for oneself. So that is what is the meaning of this appropriation means. So if you grab hold of sign and features of that person, you know, this body part or something, then it is mine. Since you take it as mine, then you get the perception of pleasure, then you come to the contact. So from the appropriation, we are coming to the tendency, and then you are going to the obsession. So this obsession, I can explain using an example. When I was working in Sri Lanka, there was a colleague of mine, a very educated person, but he was drinking alcohol. And then one day he collapsed. And doctors rehabilitated him and told him, don't drink alcohol any hereafter, then you will die. So there was a party in the uni. So he was with me. And then all of a sudden he started shaking, you know, his body is shaking, the hand is shaking, the mouth is shaking. I asked why. Then he was saying that I want to drink something. So he poured some orange juice to the glass and then started sipping it little by little. He said if someone is drinking alcohol, he at least need a glass of water and then sort of pretending that he is drinking alcohol. So what he actually did, He broke the fifth precept, you know, refraining from taking intoxicating drinks. So that is actually would be marked on the right side over here. So the obsession is described in terms of the lack of virtue. To what extent you don't have the virtue, to that extent you have the obsession. And the mental volition is described in terms of the obsession. The how much you are obsessed with something, and to that extent you have the volition. So you can see this one is a sort of a round over here. You can see perception of beauty, pleasure, self, and then you have a plan, then you come back to the over here. It's like going through a roundabout, coming back. Cut down the roundabout, you can see perception of pleasure, beauty, pleasure, self, and then the appropriation, tendency, and obsession. So if this is a round, if you have a former obsession and the former mental volition, then you have the future obsession and the future mental volition. So because of lack of virtue, we go in samsara. So this diagram was constructed to discuss something called Aditya Pariyaya Sutta, fire sermon discourse. And there Buddha is saying that it is befitting for you to lacerate your eye rather than to grab and hold a sign and features of a thing. And Buddha says, why he say in such a way that if you die at that particular moment, that you will be born in hell or animal realm. Again, Buddha said that it is befitting to lacerate your ear from a red hot iron pin rather than grab hold of a sign and features of a sound. And similarly, Buddha said, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body. You know, it's befitting to cut it from a laser blade. And Buddha said, for the mind as well, Buddha said, sleeping is a barren for life. It's not productive when you sleep. So it would be better to sleep rather than creating the schism in Sangha, order of monks. So, now I saw in my concentration, that if you die in the adherence's point, that it is possible for you to go to hell or animal realm. And I can actually explain what I actually saw by a mental volition, but with the bob of views, you are spinning fast, and the consciousness as neutral, bob of delusion, you are spinning, and if you die at this particular point, adherence point, you are going to hell or animal realm. Which I can explain using a small, very short discourse of the Buddha. In Anguttara Nikaya, Buddha is saying that There are four losses. And loss of a property, loss of a kin, that you lose your relatives, and loss of a view, loss of a virtue. Those are the four losses. Buddha said, no one is going to hell or anyone alone because you lost your property or your relatives. But if you lose your view and the virtue, then you are going to hell or anyone alone, which can be seen from this diagram. You see that, let us put something beautiful ornament, a Benz car, or good food over here, beautiful person over here. And then look at the cause and the condition point of view. The cause is beauty, pleasure, and self. And the condition is that the Benz car has got this sort of seats, some features. And then when you are coming from the left to right, you get the perception of self. So this perception of self is the right view or the wrong view? It is the wrong view. So then left to right, you lost the right view. And then you have a plan. You go to self-theory clinic and you do one of these things live. So that means you lost the virtue as well. From the right to the left, you lost the virtue. From left to the right, you lost the view, right view. So if you die at the adherence's point, then you are going to hell or animal realm. And also I saw in this particular place, you can see the appropriation. We have a small arrow going to the body tie of misapprehension. And then we are going to the insistence, that is truth. And then we are coming through, going bad way through fear and coming to the feeling, which we have not marked that path. So I saw this appropriation place, this is spinning very fast. You know, the contact, feeling, craving, appropriation, view clinging, and then perception of pleasure coming to the contact, one this way and the other way around. And it was spinning very fast. So I told Sambhati Mahabrahma, this is so dangerous. He said, yes, if you die at this particular point, you are going to hell only. So you learn the place we are going to hell, and the place you are going to hell or animal realm, the adherences. And then you also learn the volitional formations entering misapprehension as permanent. The seventh round, if you die, then you are going to plane of departure. The Akanitta Brahma realm has got a council. There are 14 great arahants are there. And the Buddha, there is a chair for the Buddha. So that today Buddha is not there, so that first chair is empty. When there is a Buddha in the future, that Buddha will get that chair. Can the Buddha have such a council? Buddha is devoid of lust, hate, and delusion. He does, because this, even on earth, there was this council. You know, Sariputta and Moggallana, two chief disciples, it's a council. And there are these 80 great arahants, it's a council. So Buddha has good counsel not only on earth, but also in the other worlds as well. So here we are calling Buddha as this Budupiya, like a, human beings, like a father. So those worlds, they are divine worlds, putting them together, divine worlds and the Brahma world, they call Buddha as the Buddha of the divine beings. A senior monk in the rank is called Budupiya, like a father. So Sampati Mahabrahma's teacher is the Tapasi Budupiya, and I call him Tapasi Budusiya, like a grandfather. So Tapasya Budusiya was asking me one day, what is the consequence of drinking alcohol? Then I know one discourse in Anguttara Nikaya, Buddha is saying if someone is drinking alcohol most of the time, then he will be born in hell, animal realm, or plane of departure. By any chance, if he were to be born in human world, then that person is a mad person. I mean, we can see that one, isn't it? While that person is living, that person is hitting your body and, you know, verbally abusing you and so on, behaving like a mad person. What can you expect after death? So I gave that answer. Then Tapasya Budhusiya was asking me, why is that? So it was the time that we have constructed this diagram. So this plan is there. I was thinking about this plan. Then Tapasya Budhusiya said, look up. That is the mental volition part over here. So then the volition, because of the volition, you get the karma. So then I started thinking why it is happening that way. Then what I understood was that if you are drinking alcohol, then you are sort of lethargic. You don't have the effort. You have sloth and torpor. From the effort, you are actually getting rid of the sensual thought, ill thought and the harm thought. So if there is no effort, then you have the sensual thought, ill thought and harm in thought, they persist. Then consciousness like it because it's persisting. So when my mind come to that state, then Tapasya Budhusiya was asking, where do you get those things, most of those things, sensual thought, ill thought and harm in thought? I remember the hell because they remove my flesh. So the harm in thought is there. I know ill thought is there. For the sensual thought part, I know men sleeping with men. Then I was trying to contemplate the other way around as well. And then Tapasya Budhusiya was saying, no need to contemplate and recall those things. They are there. You see, hell is like an underworld. In the underworld, they take drugs, drink alcohol, kill people, and rape women. So that is like this, hell is like that one, like underworld. Whatever, you know, the people, they have the strength, they use it over there. Now over here also, people, how are they actually getting happy? Happiness from the food, isn't it? So some people are eating meat. So what is the biggest animal on the land side? That is the elephant. Although you don't eat flesh of an elephant, that is the biggest one. But if you look at an animal in the hell, they are really big. I saw one elephant. I can tell you one animal is sort of lengthier than this particular hole and wider than this hole as well. And in that animal's body, they have, you know, let's say 4x4 sort of area, chairs area. They have sort of taken flesh out of that animal. So they boil it, you know, then fry it and so on. They eat it. Because this animal is so big, this is just a wound for that animal. And you have seen tick in this dog's tail. And if you look at the tick in the hell, it's like a tortoise size. And to have such a tortoise in the tail, how big should be the tail? To have such a tail, how big should be the animal? They're so big. So they enjoy life in that way. It's harsh life, you know, underneath this earth crust sort of scenario, but they have so much sensual pleasures over there. So if you are shopping for goods, then are you actually shopping? Are you going for a place where they are selling so much of it? Or are you going to to a house they are selling, you know, few of those things? You are going to the shop they are selling quite a lot of those things, isn't it? The place they are selling quite a lot of those things is the hell, where the sensual pleasures, sensual thought, ill thought, harming thoughts are available, most of that one. So that's why most of the people are going to hell, animal realm and plane of departed. You are actually shopping for sensual thought, ill thought and harmful thought. Many people are asking me, why is my consciousness took me over there? The consciousness does not have anything called my or mine thing. It is it's a stream. Consider water stream. Consciousness flows like a stream. So let us say, on a, you know, there was a drought and then it is raining. So you are happy when it is raining, and then you are thinking it would be really good that this water is going, you know, over my veggie patches and going through the garden and making it richer. But is it so? The water is flowing through the canal that you have created. So if you have created the canal of sensual pleasures, you know, sensual thought, ill thought, harming thought, then the consciousness is flowing through that one. And then it is going to this hell through that path. So at this particular time, Sahampati Mahabrahma was also there. He said that is why the Buddha, when he was still to become a Buddha, not enlightened, you know, the places where people are saying this is terrifying, they're like a forest and cemeteries and sort of thing. So Bodhisattva did the Aryan research, noble research, why these people are saying it is so frightening. So when the Bodhisattva is moving up and down, and maybe a peacock or something, and cutting down sort of a leaf or something, and that particular time, now we would be sort of running. So Bodhisattva did not stop walking up and down until the fear passed away. When he was sitting down, he got a fear, then he did not stand up until the fear passed away, because he knew if you die by that particular time without the effort, then we might go to, you know, born in hell or animal realm sort of scenario. So you learn place we are going to. Plane of departed, the adherence space, you are going to hell or animal realm, and the appropriation place, if you die, you are going to hell only. And then you learn the consequence of drinking alcohol as well. So how are you going to meditate? I will show you this shortest meditation over here. For that one, you put in the physical nutriment, you put up something you like to eat, a food or a Benz car over here, beautiful person, whatever thing, or maybe a earring or jewelry or whatever. And then you think about the cause and conditions. So perception of beauty, the pleasure and the self. So that is the cause. And then the condition is that the Benz car has got this, you know, sign and features. This is the type of seats. If you put a person over here, that person's, this place is above, this place is below. So sign and features. So when you are coming from left to right, you lost the right view. What you have is the perception of self. Self means the wrong view. And then you have a plan. So, and then it's going underneath the self theory clinging, and you do one of these line. So from the right to left, you lost the virtue. From the left to right, you lost the view. If you die in the adherences point, then you are going to hell or animal realm. And then you are thinking, is it befitting for me to go to hell or animal realm? Wouldn't it be better for me to give up my desire and attachment for lying, harsh speech, slander and frivolous thoughts? Then you have the virtue, therefore you are not going to hell or anywhere else. So frivolous talks, you see, when I was working in Australia, I was working mostly with Europeans. They had something called morning tea on Friday. For example, they take cheese, biscuits and so on. And around 10 o'clock, we all go there. And then sort of have a get together, eating those things. And the rule that we had in our office was that you can't talk work at that particular time. You can have any frivolous talks. So I went to that place. I was eating those cheese biscuits and so on. But I did not have frivolous talks. After some time, they started admiring me. They said, "You are really good. You don't have these frivolous talks as we do. And you do your job very well as well. So what is expected from you is to do the job, not to have the talking. You know, you save time as well, because if you are not spending time on talking, wasting your time on talking. So you can do wherever you are working, getting rid of the frivolous talks. What is the point of having harsh speech? If you blame someone, that person will blame you as well. And then you might go to hell or animal realm. So wouldn't it be better to give up this harsh speech and lie?" Some people are saying in Sri Lanka, someone was telling me that although I am living in Sri Lanka, I have to lie because I am working for a foreign company and they are asking me to lie. So is it befitting for you to go to hell because of that? Wouldn't it be better for you to go to a job that you don't have to lie? You know, if you earn $50,000 or $100,000, you are not going to, you know, eat 100,000 meals, lunch packets. Where your money is going? Your money is going to these houses, cars, vehicles, you know, those things. It is okay for you to even go for a bus or, you know, not to have the car. So you are not going to hell or animal realm. Maybe you go for a job which is paying, you know, $50,000 or less, and then you are going in a bus or something, so still you are not going to hell. So similarly, the slander. You sort of don't understand the value of this one, isn't it? I didn't understand that one at the beginning either. But I will tell you the other way around, the value of getting rid of these things. When we conduct these sessions before in Australia, there was an old lady, maybe 80 years old or so. And she was the one who attained to the Nobel level out of the group, first one. And then I asked Sambhati Mahabrahma, how did that happen? And he said, "Isn't that lady is so silent? She does not talk much. You know, other people, when they go for tea and they keep on talking to each other, this person just have the tea and then coming back, sitting down alone, not talking." So Sambhati Mahabrahma says that if you are old and you are not talking, you know, having these frivolous talks and so on, it is so easy for you to attain. You see, when you have this, if you don't have these verbal formations, lying, harsh speech, slander and frivolous talks, then your mind is so calm because you get the second jhana concentration with the cessation of these verbal formations. For that mind, you can absorb the Tathagata Dhamma very well. So that is the beauty, this is the value of this one. You get the concentration due to mind when you give up these things. So your mind is so peaceful. You know, all the time we are blaming someone, you know, inside you, the mosquito. Maybe sometimes even for the heat, you know, it's very hot, and sort of thing, verbalizing. I mean, the hot will not go away just because you are actually, you know, sort of yelling at from your mind. So then, so your mind becomes calm. Sometimes you are blaming the mosquito or your fly buzzing around you, not allowing me to meditate. So giving up that one is really good. So this is the shortest meditation. So you are not going to hell or animal realm if you do that way. And then for the longest meditation, you need to go through how the Venerable Mahakachchan is explained paragraph by paragraph. But if you can't remember that much, then we can have the middle level meditation. So you can see in the first path, physical Newton path, Buddha has given up quite a lot. The perception of beauty. This is a lie, isn't it? It is like that, looking at the excrement, you are saying this is a beautiful thing. You know, our body is full of impurities, excrement, urine, and so on. So, having looking at the person, you are saying beauty. So, that's a lie. And then your obsession about it, sensual desire, and the sensual desire clinging over it, clinging to sensual desires. And then the lust for it, and then the delight that you want to be born because of this thing. Buddha has given up that one. Let me give up. At this particular moment, you think you give up. And the contact as nutriment, then we get the third lie over here, perception of pleasure. How do you get that one? For the perception of beauty, you need to add permanency. You know, cutlet is there, cutlet is there. So that one is actually a lie as well. You know, their permanency is a lie. So adding the two lies together, you get the perception of pleasure. And then, for that one, you get the craving, appropriation, tendencies. And you are holding the future that you are clinging, you know, duty clinging over here. So Buddha has given up that one. So let me give up. And then perception of self, this is the fourth lie. Because the perception of pleasure is the third lie. And by taking that one as self, so we get the fourth lie. So, and then you have the view clinging. So Buddha has given up, let me give up. In the fourth path, you can see there are so many things. Buddha has given up, lying, harsh speech, slander, and frivolous talk. So you think, let me give up at this particular moment. And just giving up is not enough, because you should not have a plan to start it again. You know, you stop something, then we should not be starting. One might be thinking, you know, I have stopped, but those people are talking about this particular one. I want to, you know, go and contribute or something full of frivolous talks. So that means you have this adherences to those things and the plan as well. And also the self-theory clinging. So Buddha has given up. Let me give up. So that's the middle level meditation. So start with the shortest meditation and do the middle level one. And if you have time and if you remember, you can go through how the Venerable Mahakachana has explained it paragraph by paragraph. So let us take 20 minutes or so for you to have a discussion, and then we will do the meditation.